And I'm not going to hold you too long today, so I'll let you out early today so you can beat that church crowd at the restaurants. I know how you are. And now next Sunday, don't worry about it. Super Bowl don't start till 6 o'clock, so we'll have you out in plenty of time to go get you hot wings and all that for the game. I know how you are. I know. So anyway, nothing going on today, is there? No draft, no nothing like that. No racing. I don't start till February. See there, you ain't got nothing to do. So just let's just read some of the scripture. All right. Colossians chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 20. Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. This is how he done it. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's what the goal, the means of the reconciliation, so that he can present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to you, preached to every creature which is under heaven. I can't help, every time I read verse 23, I think about Mark 16. And just turn back to Mark chapter 16. And notice in verse 15. In Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go in all the world, preach the gospel to what? To every creature. And yet Paul says his gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Two different gospels. And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. But the gospel of the kingdom's got to be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. You can't mix the two together, folks. Now notice what he says there. Under heaven, back in Colossians, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul filled up something, and it had to do with the afflictions of Christ, and he did it in his flesh. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the sufferings. And he said, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. Well, what does Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for your sins? And when he went to that cross in AD 33, God the Father poured his wrath out on his Son in your behalf. Everybody who's sitting in here. And Jesus Christ suffered and he died. He can't suffer no more. He can't die no more. And God raised him the third day. But Jesus Christ can't suffer for the church anymore and get the message out. And whoever takes this message is going to suffer. And that's what Paul did. Paul took the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ died for people like you and like me and for the world that didn't deserve to have eternal life. If we got what we deserve, we would go to hell. We deserve the wrath of God. Like Robbie was talking about the law. There's nobody in here that can keep the law. You've never seen nobody that can keep the law. And you've never heard nobody that can keep the law. And you never will see anybody that can keep the law. The law says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and you can't do that. Because there are times in your day that you get up and you go to work and you don't think about the Lord while you're doing your job. Now, He might cross your mind, but you don't think about Him every waking moment, and you don't think about how good He is all the time, and everything you do, it's not for the glory of God. We are in a body, as Paul said, there dwelleth no good thing in my flesh. He said, I'm carnal, sold into sin. We get to reading our Bible and fully knowing our mind starts wandering off. And before I get preaching very far, some of your minds will start wondering about what you're going to be doing when you get out of here. Or you'll start thinking about what you're going to do next week or where you're going to go. That's your old carnal mind. You're not loving the Lord thinking about that. You're thinking about fulfilling the lust of your flesh. Paul said that we live in a vile body and it's dying every day. Paul suffered to get the message out that Jesus Christ died for you, and he filled up that suffering for Christ. And we take, and he told Timothy, to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. If you preach and teach, if you believe the gospel of Christ, then you're going to suffer a reproach in this religious world that we're living in today. I want to talk to you about reconciliation, though. Now, the word reconciled, it simply means to brought into friendship from a state of disagreement or enmity, animosity, by removing what caused the separation. I've had people to come and talk to me, and they was going to separate, and the very first thing when I talk to them, I try to find out why, what caused their dividing moment, what caused their separation. And when you deal with the problem that caused the separation, then you have a chance to reconcile them back together. Bring them back into unity. Bring them back into union. Bring them back into agreement one to another. The problem today is, folks, people don't know what reconciliation is. It's bringing two parties together. But as long as there's something that keeps them separated, you've got to remove what the barrier is. You've got to tear it down to bring them back together. God Almighty, up here. dwells in a light, holiness, righteous. He's up there. Man down here. Sin. Sinful. He told Israel, said, your sins have separated you from God. How can man come up here to where the Lord is? How can man arrive to His perfection? I just told you, you live in a body that keeps you from doing that. I'll never forget one time we altar was down there and people was praying. Been there a while. And all of a sudden, heard something. I stopped praying. I couldn't. What is this? The man had fell asleep praying, snoring. That's your old flesh. How are you going to get that old flesh, that old man up here to perfection? You want to see how rotten you are? You look at Jesus Christ. There was nothing ever come out of His mouth that was wrong. He never said nothing that was wrong. Everything was perfect about Him. He never had an evil thought. He never dishonored the Father one bit. He walked according to the law. He kept it perfect. He was without sin. And that's God's standard. Anybody in here want to try to put your life up to His? Not me, man. I'm an old sinner. I'm not worth the gunpowder it takes to blow me into hell. I am sorry. My righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. I mean, Paul said, everything that I can boast in, religious or any otherwise, anything I can put confidence in, he said it's nothing but dung. Now, y'all know what dung is, don't you? That's one of them words that the modern translators will leave alone. They'll leave that word in there, and they won't put the modern day word in there. I mean, folks, come on. I mean, here's Jesus Christ. He's God's standard. If you want to know what God will accept, look at Him. I can't get there. Hang on to Colossians and come back with me. And just turn over to Timothy. You know, there's no way that I can approach unto Him. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. God's will for you today, if you're lost, God's will for you today is to be saved. Verse 5, for there is one God. Okay, I've got Him right here. He's creator of heaven and earth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, then there is a mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself for a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ is the go-between. Now look at this thing of reconciliation. Turn back to Romans and look in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, notice in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the good. Is that what it says? Who did he die for? I had a person say to me, I'm not ungodly. You're in a world of trouble if you're not ungodly, because Christ didn't die for good people. But like that woman, the wife went to her house, knocked on her door. Pastor said, how long have you been a Christian? She said, all my life. I said, that's too long. Somewhere, sometime, you had to realize, I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. When do you go to the doctor? When there's something wrong. When you're sick, you want a doctor. You go to the doctor. Something bad. I recognize there's something bad about me. There's something wrong about me. I need some medicine. Same way it is with being saved, being lost. When you see yourself in a lost condition, you can't get to the perfection that God would expect. You need a physician, and that physician is Jesus Christ. Why don't people realize that you can't approach unto that holy and righteous God without Him? And He died for the ungodly. Have you ever seen yourself ungodly? You ever seen yourself lost, an old sinner? That night I got saved, I got down in a hotel room. I was in a hotel room, Spruce Pine. Y'all have heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. Matter of fact, probably some of y'all could give my testimony better than you can give your own. Because some of you never give yours, and you probably just forgot a lot of it. The more you use it, the more it grows. Well, I was in a hotel room. Big old white bed, remember? Told you about it. Now I'll never forget in Spruce Pine. I thought, if I leave this night, if I leave this room, I'm going to hell. This is it. There's no more chance of getting saved. And hey, well, I wasn't going nowhere. And I got down the best I could do. And Lord, I'm an old sinner. I junked my religion. I went to church 3-4 times a week. I mean, I thought it was sin to sneeze without a handkerchief. I thought everything was a sin. I tried to live a holy life. I tried to live as best as I could. And I mean, I was lost. And I said, God, that ain't what it's all about. I'm a sinner. And the Lord saved me that night. And I mean, when He saved me, I'll never forget it. I just said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I'm lost. Will you save me? Now I knew that He died for me. But you see, I used to get down in my bedroom and out in the go down the woods, and I'd get down, Lord, I'd just be miserable. Lord, if I'm lost, save me, Lord. And I'd take Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I'd quote that and I'd read it out loud. I said, Lord, that's Your word. You said, here I am, Lord, if I'm lost. I always had that word in there, that little old word. You know what that word, if there? If I'm lost, if, Lord, why don't You say, Lord? Then I'd get up and feel better. Somebody come around and, boy, felt the Lord around you, and oh gosh, that just lift me up. And then I'd hear a message on deception, and down I'd go again. Am I lost? I don't know if I'm saved or not. I remember 16, I went down to the altar and I got up and I felt better because I did what they wanted me to do. But I wasn't going to get eternal life. I was just going to get off the pressure off of me. That preacher came back to me when I was 16 years old and said, "Brian, are you saved?" I said, and my very words, "No, sir, if I die right now, I'd go to hell." Him tugging on my arm. And I'm sitting there and he's pulling on my arm. Slid in beside me and I said, "Lord, I can't go no more." And I was 19 years old. I want to be saved. And I didn't care what nobody thought. That night, God Almighty saved this old boy. AD 33. You say, "Well, I thought the Romans killed him." Turn over to Romans. Look in Romans chapter 8. I mean, just a few pages over, we're coming back to chapter 5. But look in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. A reference to God Almighty. Verse 31, he said, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God spared not his own son, but delivered him up on that cross for you. God wanted to be reconciled to you, but something that was there that kept you from Him. So what is it? It's sin. And you're a sinner from nature. You're a sinner by choice. You're a sinner by nature. You're born in sin. There's none of us any good. Around the cross, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all on the same footing. There's none that's good, no, not one. There's not a righteous man upon the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Everybody in here is a sinner. You were born in sin. And you still sin. And you'll sin the next week. And you'll sin after that. You're in a body of sin. And if Jesus Christ died for us, He died for us. And your sins is not the The sin has been removed by the death of His Son. And there's nobody here that could ever say, nobody don't love me. I want to tell you, God Almighty loves you. And He proved His love by delivering up His Son. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we didn't deserve it. We were sinners. And He simply delivered His Son up, and Christ died for you. He went to that cross for your sins. He had no sin to die for. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's the payment of your sins? Death. So, well, I pay for my own sins. Then God's an eternal God. If you're going to pay for them, you're going to have to pay for them. It's going to take you all eternity to pay for them. You have to pay as long as God lives, you'll have to pay. Where are you going to pay at? The second death. There's the second death, Revelation 20, the lake of fire. My land of living, I don't want that. Jesus Christ paid that. Look in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You are reconciled to God. Don't you understand that? Everybody in the world is reconciled to God. So wait a minute. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you know that word atonement? That's the same word, Greek word, is reconcile. You see, the world is reconciled, but the world has not received that reconciliation. The world has been atoned, but the world has not received the atonement. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I don't go out here and say I believe in universal salvation. I don't. I don't believe someday the devil and all of his angels are going to be saved and everybody in the as ever lives going, I don't believe that. But I do believe in universal reconciliation. What am I talking about? 2 Corinthians 5. Notice in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. Was God in Christ? What was He doing? Reconciling the world unto Himself? Well, then, did the world get reconciled unto God? Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. How could God? Look in verse 20. And now then ye are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In other words, hey, that you are, God has reconciled you to Himself. Well, that's the problem with the world. They hadn't received it. They hadn't believed it. Verse 21, for He, God, hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, folks, how can I get to God? Through Jesus Christ, the cross. You see, people don't go to hell because of their bad. They don't go to hell because to sin. They don't get the wrath of God poured out on them because of their sins today. Jesus Christ bore it. Why do people go to hell today? For their unbelief. They won't believe it. They won't receive Him. Well, when did you in your life ever receive Christ as your Savior? And I know the religious system has packed this world full of religious garbage. I mean, they make it like, well, if you quit this and you quit that and you stop doing this and you stop doing that, then God will receive you. That's a bunch of baloney. You come as you are and God will receive you on the basis of His Son. God saves sinners. You know, the Lord uses bad people. I was reading over in the book of Joshua. You ever read over in Joshua that harlot named Rahab? She was the only one Jericho got saved. And you know what? She lied. I mean, just told one lie right after another, no lying harlot over there. And she said, she took them spies up there and hid them up there, and then she said, they went somewhere else. I don't know where they went. I don't know where they're at. And I've seen them go out that way. Hurry up, you can catch them if you go on. Just lie, lie, lie. And God just said, that's my girl. I mean, folks, look at mankind. Here's a man after God's own heart. And you couldn't even trust your wife with him. You know who he is? David. You know what David did? He killed a man. You say, you mean tell the world to be bad? No, I'm simply telling you that's who God saves. These self-righteous people that think they're going to get to God and get to heaven by doing good and by being good and by keeping the golden rule and not breaking any of the Ten Commandments, they're going to have a rude awakening someday. Right here's the way to God, by the cross. Reconciliation. Removing the barrier that caused the separation. When Adam sinned in the garden, God separated him from him. Drove him out of the kingdom. But He made atonement for him. God's made atonement for you. I don't have anything to bring. I don't have anything to offer. I come in Jesus' name. I want to tell you something right now. God will save you where you're sitting right now if you'll believe on His Son without you ever walking anywhere, going anywhere. You don't need to say nothing. You don't need to pray nothing. You don't need to do nothing but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. While you're there in 2 Corinthians, look over there and look with me in chapter 6, verse 1. Because we're ambassadors and we have the ministry of reconciliation, look in chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, that's like believing without a cause. That's like receiving it and not really have. Yeah, I believe that, but you know. When you see yourself God on the way to a death of hell and there's no hope for you and you die and go to hell. And don't kid yourself, the graveyards are full of young people. You don't have the promise of another day. Somewhere, someday, and it could be today, you're going to leave this planet. The question is, where are you going? Are you going up? When you draw your last breath and your heart beats the last time, are you going to and be gone into paradise? Or when that stops and you draw your last breath, are you going to fall and end up in quiet valleys, like Jesus said in Luke 16, that rich man said, Lord, he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. If I could take off somehow and take this carpet up and take the cement off there and go down and remove the dirt and remove it and go down there in the center heart of this earth and have you to stand and the stench that would come. Salvation, and you can leave out of here saved and have eternal life with hope that when you draw your last breath, he's going to take you to where he's at. Say, well, I'm not good enough. Folks, you never will get good enough. If you could get good enough, he would have died for you, wouldn't have had to die for you. But look what he said in verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. It's 2 Corinthians 6:2. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. You know that word succored there, that succored thee? You know what it is? It simply means giving you aid. He not only provided a sacrifice for you, he not only get done all of that. He not only raised up a man named Paul and went out to preach the gospel, but here he is. He's brought you into this assembly one more time, and here's this old preacher up here and trying to tell you about his son again. That's giving you aid. He's doing everything he can do to get you to trust his son. He's succoring thee right now. He's giving you aid. It's the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Will you trust him right now? Will you believe on him right now? You say, well, I got plenty of time. No, you don't know how much time you got. You know, it's not just a matter of fact of whether you got. You'd be left here. He died. He reconciled you. Now will you be reconciled to him? Will you receive that reconciliation? If I have two parties over here, and the thing, this one here says, well, as far as I'm concerned, that separated us is gone. This one over here says, well, I ain't going to receive that. Would they ever get together? There has to be agreement. That's what reconciliation. It's brought into friendship. It's brought into unity. It's in agreement. That the thing that kept you apart has been gone. Agreement. God has agreed. It's gone. My son, take it out of the way. My son has paid for your sins. And I raised him from the dead, has given him a receipt that I accepted his sacrifice. Then are you in agreement that, yes, he did pay for my sin. God said, I paid for him. I died for you. I did it all. Are you in agreement that he paid for all of your sins? And will you receive him right now? If you will, God will save you. You can leave out here a saved individual, and nobody will know it till you tell them, I'm saved. Why wouldn't you want to tell somebody that you're saved? You see, what am I doing, preacher? I'm giving an invitation. We're not singing Just As I Am without one plead. We're not trying to have every head bowed and every eye closed and all that. I'm giving you the invitation right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Receive Him right now, and He'll save you. I receive Him. I see that. He died for me. Lord, I receive you. Then you're in agreement. All right. And he takes you into his covenant, so to speak, and puts you into his body. Let's stand. I'm going to ask, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you haven't trusted him, will you do so at this time? Father, I pray that, Lord, that the message has been simple enough. I pray that you'll use it. I realize, God, that these old stammering lips and scattered thoughts, but Lord, you can put them together. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll deal. And I pray right now, everybody in this building that's not saved, that's never been saved, they have never seen theirself, I pray that they'll see theirself lost right now. And I pray that right now they'll receive the atonement, and they'll receive the reconciliation, and they'll receive your Son as their personal Savior. And I pray that they'll just trust Him. And Lord, I know that when they trust you for their salvation, you'll save them. Oh God, may they do that right now. While we're praying, help them to do it. Help them just to say in their heart, Lord, I know you died for me, and I'm going to depend on that for my salvation, and I trust you. May the light of their understanding be turned on to that fact. Everything is accomplished, Lord, we'll give you the praise. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake hands with one another.